Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life presents Knowing Health, Nutrition, and You. On Mondays, we talk about food, your relationship to food, and how your relationship affects you, your mind, your body, but also your family and how they interpret nutrition and food. And we don't always realize and understand that, but how we see things impacts how our children see things.
Yes, and you raise a very good point. And especially when you say, you know, when we raise our children, I mean, I don't have any children yet, but I know that, you know, growing up in a half-Italian household, I was basically trained to eat, like, basically whatever. And it was imperative that that we just eat because like, Italians, like, they value family and they value food. And it was always imperative that we sit at the dinner table, and, you know, it's become very Americanized since then, since I've grown up. But yeah. So what are your traditions, Mary, for like dinners and stuff like that?
You know, I grew up in a German household. It was the same way. You go to grandma's house, there's always food. Always.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got the food, but then you got the desserts, the pies, the cakes, the homemade bread. You know, in our house, we try to have family sit-down meals. But I have two special needs kids, which a lot of you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my son doesn't sit at the table.
Right.
And we stopped. We went through this battle with him when it came to eating. And it, either he sat at the table or he didn't eat, or you let him take his plate somewhere and he'd eat.
Right.
And someday it'd be great for him to be at the table with us, but until then, you walk that fine line. And, you know, like, I notice this a lot with my daughter, and this is where I really caution people about what they say and what they watch, and what their kids watch.
Yep.
Because, you know, like my daughter watches a lot of different YouTube videos. Some are good, some are bad, and I monitor it.
Yeah.
And we talk to her about it. But when COVID hit, we had a worker that worked with us that would talk about healthy foods and healthy things. Well, she was 6. And so she started becoming obsessed with only eating healthy foods and worried about becoming fat because she was a little chunky, but it wasn't unhealthy. She still had her baby fat. She didn't hit her growth spurt yet. So she gets obsessed about the scales and, you know, only eating certain foods because that's what someone told her she needed to do. And we're trying to break her of that mindset.
Do you think that's common with children with autism?
It's not. Autism kids are very picky in what they eat. My daughter kind of breaks the mold because she lives on fruits and vegetables. And she's been like this since she was little. It was really cute. So she was about 3. And I always called her my goofy kid or my special kid because she would not touch leaf lettuce or lettuce. She thought there was something wrong. she loved spinach. And it's not mom's doing. Mom will eat mommy's lettuce. Mom buys lettuce by the head. And so my mom buys, we get subs. And I get the kids one with half lettuce and half spinach on it for her and her brother to share. And then my mom was sharing hers, and she pulls out this lettuce, and she's all, you know, it's got a little bit of the oil on there. She's like, what is this? You're trying to poison me? What is this garbage? And she scrapes all the lettuce off and grabs a handful of spinach and puts it on the sub. Says, you cannot eat this.
Wow. That is too cute. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, I was a little, I was a picky eater myself, but it was more so like I have rules. Like, and to this day, at the age of 26, I have rules. Like, my tomato sauce cannot be chunky, and and, you know, pineapple does not go on pizza. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, but it doesn't. And that's like an ongoing debate. And let's see, raisins do not go in couscous, which I know kind of goes against Moroccan cooking. But we were watching the Super Bowl last night, and we had Moroccan chicken, and we were just trying to have something, you know, diabetic friendly, but also, not also for those of you who don't know, I recently reversed type 2 diabetes, but I still have to control it. And being the nutritionist that I am, I still live by, you know, nutritious values and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's basically my shtick.
You know, and that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of us, you know, especially when it comes to autism, the misconception is, even hyperactive kids, all
right,
you need to take all the sugars out of their diet. You need to take all the gluten out of their diet. Because that's the theories of the insane world we live in. Instead of accepting them, learning, and this, we talk a lot about this on my other shows, about how to teach regulation, how to teach them to calm down, how to be themselves and let them just run around. We're going to fix it with diet, which to the extent you can fix things with diet, but if it's not wrong with them, diet's not going to fix it.
Yeah.
And so you put these kids on very strict, unnatural, unhealthy diets to fix their problems, and you're seeing no results. Well, a lot of kids with autism tends to have gluten intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe a lot has to do with you not giving it to them. But a lot of them are texture kids where they will only eat certain things based on texture.
Right.
So
yeah, and a lot of that, like, I know with, like, egg intolerance, it's usually because, like, parents give them to their kids, like, really, really early on in life, and they develop...
That's actually a misconception.
Really?
The United States has the highest food allergy problems in the world because we do not give our kids those foods until they're older. You know, the Middle East, or let's go to China, in Asian countries. Everything they cook is in peanut oil. They don't use vegetable oils. Peanut allergies are almost unheard of over there. It is high here in the United States. They tell you that they can't have certain fruits, strawberries, high allergy foods until they're older.
Right.
And your body never builds up that tolerance to certain things. I truly believe we cause the allergies because we don't give them in moderation time to taste it, try to do it. You know, egg allergies, our vaccines are made with egg.
Right. That makes sense.
So technically you are getting egg at a very young age.
Hey, Mary.
You know, hi, Derek. How are you?
How are you feeling?
I'm getting better.
Hey, Derek.
I'm on the mend. I've been
hey,
sick last
April.
Week. Derek, April's on. Say hi to April.
Hi, April.
Hey. How's it going?
How are you? Good. You?
Fantastic. Yeah. Still trying to wake myself up here today, but we all know it was a big loss tonight. Big for the Chiefs last night and also the Eagles, but the Chiefs took home the big Lombardi Trophy. And yeah, we were just talking about traditions and so on and so forth and food allergies. So I want to know, Derek, what are some of your traditions at home in terms of eating? Like, what are, like, do you guys sit at the table? Do you guys, like, do anything in particular? Or do you guys have a routine?
I don't know.
How?
I don't
Derek,
know yet.
Derek is self-sufficient on his own, working, doing everything.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
And Derek, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and what we're working on? Once I get better and the radio show slows down for a minute, what is it that we're working on for you?
You're going to help me post my hoop card on the internet.
Yes. And Derek is autistic. And
oh.
He wants to become an advocate and talk about what he goes through to help kids see just because you have that diagnosis doesn't mean that you're stuck. You can
I
wanna
help
all
people.
These
I wanna help people too. I am helping people.
You
that's
are every day.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Wow, we have some
hey, Mary,
what's that?
Mary, I'm trying to help your husband have a better life.
You do that.
I do that? He needs
go ahead,
one,
Derek.
Right?
Yeah, well, everybody needs a better life. But you got to remember, Derek, because I do what I do for a living, being married to him, he doesn't listen to me.
He doesn't listen to me.
He don't listen to me. So he needs an outside source to see things from a different perspective. You know, it's
yeah.
like the rule of doctors. Doctors don't treat family. I have a rule with coaching. Mm. I don't coach my own family. I subcontract it out to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because then they get that third view that's objective or not. That blank, non-emotional attachment to it. You know, and I learned that with
yeah.
my own daughter. When she struggled with her self-esteem, and I did everything I could to help her. And finally, she just sat down and told me, she goes, Mom, it doesn't matter what you say. Moms always think their kids are great. Moms always cheer their kids on. So I don't believe you.
Oof. Yeah, I know I was like that when I was being bullied. I mean, and like, my bullying story is, my story with being bullied, I should say, is a entire different story on its own, and but really it led me to in short it led me to eventually just not eating, and then in my freshman year of high school I was at Old Navy one time and I wound up dropping to a size zero in jeans. That's how scary it was.
And one that's the misconception too is it's you got to look a certain way, you got to be a certain way, and
right,
you know, I had the opposite problem you did.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up
also.
I was always super skinny. It didn't matter what I ate, it didn't matter what I did or what
mm-hmm.
I didn't do, I could never gain weight. So I always got made fun of in the sense because, you know, you looked anorexic. Or, you know, teachers would comment about it, you know, and send you down to the – and I was self-conscious because I was skinny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I end up hauled down to the nurse's office, making sure I was okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I've definitely, like, heard of girls, like, experiencing that, you know, when I was in high school. And like, I remember, like, this, I was overhearing a conversation unintentionally, but it was in seventh grade. We were in power skills class. I know it sounds completely useless, and it was. And this one girl goes like, "Oh, so and so's like the skinniest person in the grade." I'm like, "Why should that matter to people? What people look like, what their bodies look like? I mean, all that matters is what's on the inside." And it's like, yeah, I know it's kind of cliche, but it's true. I mean, nowadays it's like it's all about how you treat people, and it always has been.
Mm-hmm. And I went so far as I joined weightlifting just so I could bulk up. It was fun.
I mean,
but it didn't work.
I was a track athlete in high school, I remember one time I was nonchalantly very, like, we were at a track meet, and it was like one of those invitationals, and excuse me, and they, my coach said that, like, you know, some of these girls are bigger than you, so that's probably why you're not, like, throwing the javelin far enough. And it's like, I can't tell if, like, this woman is, like, skinny shaming me or, like, or just saying I'm not strong enough. So, because, like, I was very tiny in high school. And, it was just, it seemed to me like no matter what size I was, it was like, I'm going to get flack for it.
It is. It's sad. You know, we are identified based on our size and how we look.
Yeah.
It don't matter how
it's
smart you
women,
are.
It's men, too.
Oh, you know, I grew up in the 90s.
Right.
And so it was all about the creatines and the protein powders and all the different things that the football players had to do to bulk up and all the heavy
mm-hmm.
lifting they did. And we're finding out that, you know, you're actually hurting yourselves at a young age because you're doing all this stuff to your bodies.
So true. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, like, did you know that billions of pounds are spent dollars are spent on dietary supplements across the globe each year. And this is actually a common discussion of whether or not supplements are actually necessary or even safe. And many people choose to take supplements in order to obtain all the, basically the necessary nutrients without having to spend too much time worrying about food or nutrients. And without having to spend too much time in the kitchen, resultantly.
Yeah, it's insane. And, you know, ironically as it is, you know, supplements are not regulated.
Yeah, I remember you and I had this conversation last week.
You know,
and
Canada has a strict regulation technique that they use to buy when you buy.
Yeah.
Supplements from Canada, they are measured, they're restricted, they're certified. You just can't put something together. You know, it's like my husband, he's all about the Alex Jones and the InfoWars and all of his crap. I say crap because, you know, he buys these expensive supplements, but when you read the bottle, it doesn't tell you what's in them.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It drives me nuts because he, like, I'll buy my supplements, see in the basics that I need for function because I have anemia issues. So I have iron deficiencies. And so mm-hmm. I'll buy them, you know, whatever, willy-nilly, because I buy them a lot. But, you know, with my kids, I read the label. and I researched to make sure. You know, like we use Genexia products, which are natural, not plant-based, flower-based. They actually come from flowers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They come
yeah,
out
that
with
makes
a
sense,
whole
actually.
Natural supplement line for allergy meds, an alternative to melatonin, a non-hormonal supplement for melatonin called Sleepology that's from actual flowers that actually works.
What kind of flower is it? The melatonin.
It's, give me 2 seconds and I'll grab the bottle.
Sure. And while you're grabbing the bottle, I'll just say that nutritional experts like myself will always prefer and recommend that our clients like understand the basis of a healthy diet and to ensure that all nutrients are obtained through a well-balanced diet. And it's important to note, however, that, you know, sometimes
A bottle supplement,
you know, supplements. Sorry?
Yeah, it has alfalfa.
Oh.
Chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa
officials.
Bunch of things I can't pronounce, but what they're used for.
Yeah, it's always the stuff you can't pronounce, isn't it?
And, but it tells you what each of the plants is, what it's used for. Like, for example, the alfalfa is for restless sleep.
Right.
The calcarea
yeah, that makes sense.
Phosphorica
mm-hmm.
is for frequent waking.
Oh.
Chamomile is for your inability to fall asleep.
Gotcha. You know, that makes perfect sense, actually, because, like, I...
And a
like,
bunch of other different
drink...
plants that I can't pronounce.
Yeah, like, I tend to drink chamomile tea before I go
no.
to bed. Because, like, it like, decreases anxiety for
got
me.
Some
and, like, a
lavender in
showed...
there. And...
Yeah.
But if you actually go through the labels on it, and you research the plants, it's all, you know what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure just as much. Yeah, and but regardless, like as an example, like some medication may interfere with digestion, so nutrients are not absorbed, and then therefore supplements are important. And it's wise to advise like your clients, no matter if you're coaching them or if you're a nutritionist, to check in with a doctor before choosing supplements over eating healthily, which personally, I have to disagree with that statement because you should always be eating healthily. And preparation of fresh foods can be enjoyable as well as providing many benefits. And
right.
sometimes it's only just a little organization. That's all it takes.
You know, I always was taught nutrition in the Army, is that your supplements
right.
are for what you can't eat. Like for me, I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
So I don't do dairy, or I do a very minimum of dairy.
Right.
So I use supplements to fill the gaps. You don't use it as, and, you know, I've seen people that I've worked with that, you know, their kitchen's full of supplements instead of actual food.
Right.
And it drives me nuts because, but that's like the misconception of like wheatgrass. You know, people eat these smoothies with all these different greens in it. That's great, but, you know, you need food.
Yeah.
You know, the
like
human body
food.
Really can't digest wheatgrass.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because before I was diagnosed as a diabetic, I would practically you know, waste money on wheatgrass shots from this little store in here in Providence, and I'm not going to name drop the place, but because I obviously forget the name, but yeah, and it's like. Yeah, I just didn't know that about wheatgrass. I mean, I mean, I first heard of it on Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and I mean, that was like a revolutionary show on its own, without giving too much detail.
Well, it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
You know, that started the whole Kardashian phase. And people would do what these people, these celebrities do because they look like they do. And it's like, don't y'all people think about how much money they spend on to look like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They got
and
good
like,
surgeons.
Exactly. They have surgeons. They have, like, I know that Kim Kardashian spends hours a day in the gym. Hours a day. Tell me what's wrong with that.
Well, for starters, you don't spend any time with your kids.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, I was told in a joking way, but it actually is true, is that, you know, if we were designed to eat grass, we'd have four stomachs like cows. Cows can't digest it. That's why they have four stomachs to break everything down.
Very true. Humans
are designed to be omnivores, eat meat, eat plants, eat everything in a moderation and in a cycle.
Yeah, and the term moderation has very much a restrictive connotation to it. You know, I'm not going to get too much into it because we're almost out of time, but...
we can add more time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's. Yeah, I would say that, you know, the term moderation definitely has a restrictive connotation to it only because it's like you are restricting yourself from having, like, the foods that you want and what you think is necessary for your body. And it all goes with intuitive eating because and I brought this up a couple of weeks ago because intuitive eating is more so like habitual and it's definitely more so, what am I trying to say here? I just need more coffee. That's what.
We use food to fill all the other emotions that we don't know how to deal with.
Yeah, it's like, and that's another problem. It's like emotional eating, not exactly good for you. But, yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Mary,
well,
but...
you know, I have an issue with that. I'm big with that. You know, or boredom eating. We use food as a supplement when we can't figure out what to do with ourselves. You get
right.
bored, you eat. You get upset, you eat. And, you know,
yeah.
society, TV shows that all the time. Especially all the girly movies, as my kids call them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember last week we talked about the movie Clueless, and there's also a Cinderella story, you know, with Hilary Duff and Jennifer Coolidge. And
yep.
Yeah, and there's a huge thing about diet culture in it, and it was basically like, I remember, like, they're, like, the popular kids are sitting at a table in Fiona's Diner, and... And, like, one of the girls goes, like, I already ate. And then, like, one of the guys goes, like, you know, so-and-so, like, laxatives don't qualify. And really, they're just, like looking back on it now as I like, recite that line, like, they're basically making fun of eating disorders and just poking fun at it. And I remember the main popular girl in the movie actually asks Hilary Duff's character, Sam, that's her name, like, what can I get that's, like, fat-free, has no carbs, and is low-cal or something like that? And she goes, water, basically. So, and, I mean, it was mainly out of spite, but, like, yeah, but that just goes to show, like, I didn't pick that up when I was, like, watching it in 2004. And in 2004, I was, almost eight. Yeah, I was eight. And it was such a, like, eye opener when I eventually turned God, how old was I? 25. And then I'm realizing all this, like, bad stuff that, like, they're actually saying, and, like, how impressionable, like, I could have been when I was 8 years old. And I was watching a TikTok that same day. Basically, it was this girl who was, like, you know what bugs me? It's, like, and it's the show, the movie Bring It On with Hayden Panettiere, and the one where Rihanna judges the dance competition at the end. And they shadow this girl who gained some weight over the summer, basically. And here's what really bugs everybody is that the girl wasn't even fat.
You know, and true, but growing up in that time period, that's how it was. Cheerleaders had to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
There was no buying skirts to fit you. You fit the skirt. You had to fit the mold. And part of that in cheerleading is because of some of the stunts you do, you have to be a certain build and a certain size to do it safely. But same with dance. But the thing is we're taking that way too far.
Yeah, we really are. Yeah, and I just remember, like, being so angry, especially at this one. And I'm going to bring up Sex and the City again, because in the first movie, and this was in 2000, and the movie was aired in 2008, so a few years later, and they show that Samantha had supposedly gained a little weight just by not cheating on Smith Jared. And what bugs everybody nowadays is that she wasn't even fat. I don't know if you remember that, Mary, but I certainly don't.
I honestly
it bugs me.
Never got into Sex and the City. When that became big, I was playing soldier.
Oh, gotcha.
So my TV time was kind of limited.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. And I think that,
I say playing soldier because it's kind of a joke, because, like, my husband will talk about a movie that happened in the 2000s, and, like, it's a popular movie. And he's like, haven't you seen that? And I go, no. And he's like, well, what are you doing? And I go, really? You got to ask me this. We've been together 9 years, and you're still trying to figure out where I was during this time period? I thought playing soldier while y'all were screwing around here.
Wow. Yeah, it's like one of those things that, like, we really shouldn't have to explain. I remember I was trying to explain why my blood sugar had spiked a little bit after eating a taco yesterday, and it was because of the Mission Carbed wheat wrap that I had. And I remember it was very much because of that, because it had, like, 3 net carbs. And what people don't realize about diabetes is that, you know, it's not all about the sugar. It's about what goes into other things that you eat.
Well, you know, with diabetes, the way they explain it and how you eat and what you're supposed to eat really is very complicated. But
yeah,
it really doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be at all. I mean, I get it. Like, it may not make sense to people who have, like, you know, a very limited mindset when it comes to, say, like, sugar or carbohydrates. And, like, people are like, and I said this on Wednesday's show, that, you know, people are like, don't eat processed food, blah, blah, blah. Don't eat sugar, blah, blah, blah. But, like, your body actually needs those carbohydrates in order to live. And your body actually does need, like, 135 grams of carbohydrates a day.
You know, I always, I didn't understand the whole diabetes thing until I had to learn it for the military, but two, when I became gestational diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many people tell you, oh, you have to do this, you have to do this, and count this, count this. It really reminded me, you know, me being growing up in the Jenny Craig phase and the counting points to eat. And it just confused the heck out of me. I'm like, you know what? Forget this. We're going to figure out an easy way to do this. Because, I don't have time to sit and figure out meal plans and do this all healthy. I have an opinionated little girl today. She's starting to feel better.
Oh, that's good. That's when you know.
Oh, I ended up, we all had a head cold, so I did the bare minimum, just did the radio show. So we don't have a guest for today, by the way. So Hometown Heroes moved to Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
So today for the afternoon show, which is normally Hometown Heroes, we're going to talk about your story. We're going to continue on from last Wednesday, but we're going to talk about, too, Friday is International Random Act of Kindness Day.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I almost forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me.
And, of course,
happy Self-Love Day, everyone. I know it's technically, like, Galentine's Day, but really it's all about showing yourself some love. I mean, regardless of whether you're married, you have a significant other, regardless if you're in an open relationship or not.
And, you know, we have gotten so far away from the concept of Valentine's Day. And we're going to talk about that today on the show. Because, you know, we're into this mindset about items, food.
Right.
Nutrition.
Yeah, food.
Garbage. You know, how much. Hey. Close the lips. Watch your show.
Garbage. Down like that. No.
Oh, goodness. Mary's got a full house today. So on.
Oh, Mary's got a full house every day. But the problem is her daughter is like her mother. She's got an opinion and she's not afraid to share
it.
Someday
you
will hear her on the radio.
Good job.
Okay, enough.
Hey.
Ariana?
Watch it. Don't worry, I'm not going to shove my mouth.
Okay, so I'm just going to continue the conversation on carbohydrates a little bit. Yeah, thanks. So again, I'm going to continue the conversation on carbohydrates just a little bit. So, carbohydrates are vital for energy and work alongside vitamins and hormones in this respect. So refined carbohydrates can be found in processed foods, including cakes and pastries, which resultantly cause a spike in the blood with glucose very quickly. But these foods, which are still complete, so like wholemeal pasta or rice, etc., they release energy over a period of time, and this actually prevents those blood glucose spikes. So when considering your carbohydrates, especially if you're diabetic, avoid the processed versions. You might have to look at the dietary fiber and make sure it's over 5 grams. I know that I eat bands of pasta a lot, and it's the pasta that's going to get chickpeas. And it's so good for you. And, oh, my goodness. By the way, this is not sponsored.
You know, so a question for you. So there's, like, pastas, like I buy my son because he is a pasta kid.
Yeah.
That's one of the things he eats. But they come out, like Barilla comes out with a pasta that's entwined with, like, vegetables, zucchini and stuff like that. Is that still is that better?
Is it still healthy?
Or is it worse than just regular pasta?
I would say read the nutrition labels, because what you really want to look out for is things like, you know, molasses or like anything like, you know, malted, whatever it's called, but malted sugar. Wow. Mm. Need more coffee. And, yeah, like you really want to look out for those,
the chemicals.
Types of ingredients. Yeah, the chemicals. Yeah,
oh,
that's
so
the word I was looking for. Yeah, because
I buy the natural.
Yeah, yeah, and you really want to really pay attention to the first ingredient, because that's what it's made up of the most. And say something has like flour for its first ingredient. Like I know that graham crackers do, and that's because it's made up of mostly flour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing when you're looking at say sugar as the first ingredient. That's when you know it's bad for you, because it's made up of mostly sugar.
You know, no, we're talking about carbohydrates. I know one of the big misconceptions is wheat bread.
Yeah.
People will eat wheat bread thinking it's good for them, as opposed to whole grain bread. But really, you know, I was taught that basically wheat bread is just no better for you than white bread.
Really? Wow. Like, you know, it's funny whenever we come on these shows, because like as a nutritionist, like I'm not aware of some of the things that you talk about. Like, for example, like the whole wheat as opposed to white bread and as opposed to whole grain. So are you saying that whole grain is better?
Whole grain or multi-grain bread is the optimal bread, the bread you want to eat.
Gotcha.
Where wheat bread is just basically a different part of the flour. Flour comes from wheat.
Yeah.
And so wheat bread is basically just another version of flour or of white bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it doesn't have all the different textures in it. It's just not.
Right.
It's just and so it's really not any better for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Where when you want it, if you're looking for the healthy foods, you want the whole grains, because that's what actually cleans out your arteries and does all your stuff.
Exactly.
That's right. Just like vegetables. She is training to be a nutritionist by nature.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it's nothing to do with mom. It literally is the way she was wired when she was old enough to decide food.
Yeah.
You tell her she gets a treat at the store, it is buying out the produce aisle. It's not what candy she can get or what ice cream she can get. It is literally, let's go to the produce aisle and buy one of everything.
That's actually a really good idea. I mean, I wish I could do that more often, but I mean, like, as a nutritionist, I do say, like, you know, buy in bulk whenever you can at the grocery store, because not only is it better for the economy, but it's also better for you.
That's a lot of grocery stores buy local. Like, I go to Hy-Vee here, and literally all 90% of the produce that they can buy is local.
Wow.
They just promoted, and when you look at, like, they're just promoting, like, we have this company called Busher Boy that grows tomatoes normally. They're a canning product, but they branched out into strawberries now, so now they have natural strawberries. And then we have a company out here that just built a plant in California. They're expanding, called Revolve. It's a hydroponic, all-natural, non-GMO, different forms of lettuce.
Right.
And spinach, stuff like that. So a lot of times you'll see them cheaper because it's a local-grown place, a local-grown food. So sometimes when you see them cheaper, it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it might be local.
Exactly. Yeah, and as we're talking about like what you should look out for on the nutrition label, like there are two types of fats. So there's trans and saturated. And then most trans fats are man-made. And often they are made by a processing method that makes the fat easier to cook with. And this also serves to increase the shelf life of processed products. And the reason why I say buy around the perimeter of the store, it's because that's where you get all your vegetables, your produce, your you know, your cheese, and everything like that. And there is much discussion about the dangers of trans fats and whether changes can be forced in the food industry. And I know for a fact that trans fats are actually and correct me if I'm wrong, are they completely banned? Because, like, I don't see any of them on, say, like, processed cereal anymore.
I am not 100% sure. I know. I don't think they're banned. I think they're relabeled.
How so?
Because the way that marketing works. Oh, and nope. Back in 2020, FDA has banned trans fats in foods. Trace amounts can still be found. So option is to read labels carefully.
Exactly. It pays to check the labels on food packaging.
But it's only artificial trans fats that are banned.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, and then the saturated fat comes from sources like, you know, red meat, dairy products, poultry, you know, et cetera. And saturated fats raise total blood cholesterol, which increases potential for heart disease. And nearly all fat sources have a high level of saturated fats. And these are known as solid fats because they become solid in room temperature. So like butter, pork, and beef fat are prime examples.
And it's the way that they've done this is that it's only partially hydrogen, the HDO oils.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's better to have unsaturated fats, including like monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, omega-3 fatty acids. And omega-3 fatty acids, we don't talk about these enough, but although they're mostly found in fatty fish, they can also be found in some plant-based foods. It's also good for the heart. And the body converts omega-3 better when it's from an animal source than plant sources. Sorry, I have a little bossy girl of my own named Stassi. She is my kitty cat. And probably hear her meowing in the background, but yep, she's howling. But any foods which are made up from monounsaturated fat and polyunsaturated fat are liquid at room temperature. And these fats do include, you know, your olive oil, your peanut oil, your corn oil. And fish is known to be high in omega-3 fatty acids. And they include, like, you know, salmon, trout, mackerel, sardines, herring. And omega-3 fatty acids that come from plant-based sources include, you know, flax seeds, you know, ground flax seeds, oils like canola oils, flaxseed, soybean, and then your nuts and other seeds, including like walnuts and butternut squash.
And this is where the misconception is that partially hydrogenated, oils can be used, which is soybean, cottonseed, and other oils to produce a more solid fat, which can be used in processed foods. Doesn't mean it's still healthy for you. It just means that it's, this is where I brought up the whole labeling changes, which is why you can still buy margarine.
Yeah.
And margarine, ironically, came out during the Depression because they were looking for ways to fatten up turkeys and chickens to make them bigger so that families didn't have to buy so many to feed them, their families.
Mm-hmm.
Margarine is technically one molecule away from plastic. Your body cannot digest it.
I didn't know that.
The ironic thing is that the chickens and the turkeys refuse to eat it. And so instead of throwing it out and wiping it out, they turned it as an alternative to butter. So what's not good for your animals is good for humans. So I always tell my kids, if you're not going to feed that to the animal, don't eat it.
Yeah, like, why would you put it, like, in your stomach if it's not good for an animal?
Or if an animal refuse to eat it, don't eat it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing with dogs. I mean, like, almost the same thing because, you know, dogs will put anything in their mouth and they'll eat it. However, like, there are things that are just not good for them. You know, like, you know, obviously chocolate, you should not feed a dog chocolate. You should not feed a dog grapes, no alcohol. And, yeah, and I could go on, but for the sake of the show, we are talking about humans. But, and we haven't talked about cholesterol much, but it just popped into my mind as we're talking about margarine. And there's a lot of information about cholesterol, but how do you know, how can you tell the fact from fiction? So first,
I think we should do that. Let's do a show just on that. Fact and fiction when it comes to one food and one, especially cholesterol and high blood pressure.
That sounds like a great idea. I'm all for it.
Because, you know, I went through that with my husband because he had high blood pressure when I met him.
Yeah.
I didn't cause it this time. And so I modified his diet because I'm the only one that cooked. And so we lowered it and lowered all of his stuff. Quiet. We don't use the word diet in our house.
Ooh. Someone said
that's
it.
A bad word in our house. We, because the influence,
no.
The thought process of diet is, we're very careful on word choices when it comes to my kids and different foods that they eat, because I don't want them to have that stigma attached to it.
Exactly.
So my mouthy little daughter likes to remind me that's a bad word. Yeah, we have weird bad words in our house.
Yeah, and you know what? That's okay. And because, like, I remember learning about it in sociology sophomore year of college. And, like, my professor, like, one time said, like, oh, my family doesn't say fart because, like, she had you know, three boys under the age of, like, seven or something. And so that was just, like, one thing that they don't do. And, like, you know, kids are often trained. Sorry.
And then they're sponges that regurgitate what you don't want them to say.
Exactly. It's like that phrase, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I remember seeing this really powerful image on Facebook. It was like, you know, mother's mouth and, like, her tongue, like, spewing out of her sons, and then there was this poor boy who's ridiculed thusly by this boy, and it was basically used to teach, it was basically like propaganda for you know, that phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's tripping that through time fast.
And so it's a pretty powerful image.
And that's a big part of what we need to talk about is how we talk about things, especially food and our mindset towards our bodies and how we look. And I'm not saying that you just be careful because we need to teach our kids to be appropriate with eating, but not restrict them so rigidly. It's way too early for me. There you go. So that become a basket case worrying about food. And, you know, the opposite happens. You know, when you go to boot camp in the Army, you are restricted completely. And you can only eat their foods. So there's no fast food. There is no pizzas. There is nothing but healthy food. You're like this for 10 weeks. Family day. This is the day before graduation. You're allowed to go onto base by yourself with your family and eat anything you want. 95% of these kids turn around and they eat all this fast food. They drink all this pop. You spend the next 5 hours puking your guts out because your body's not used to it.
Yeah.
You learn really quick how to eat healthy because you don't have – you learn from your mistakes. But the same thing happens when you – kids who are so regimented in life, when they go to college or they, you know, become on their own for the first time, they don't know how to eat properly. They don't know how to do all this stuff because we're not teaching them. We're just doing it for them. And this is where you get all that problem.
Yeah, that's where you get all that. And, you bring up a good point where you say that, your body, tends to throw up because, your body may not be used to something. And we could talk about this on another show, but, because, again, we're almost out of time. But, it's very much a unknown concept. And it's very overlooked, especially, I'm going to say, amongst college kids. And you could probably already guess what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, explain more.
So next Monday, we're going to talk about carbohydrates, the myths, the facts, the truth. And how to be able to eat properly and understand this whole complicated world of food in a simpler term.
Exactly. Amazing.
Today, at noon Eastern, it has optimized my life. Hometown Heroes got moved to Wednesday. And today we're going to talk about Valentine's Day, what it means, the true meaning of it. How to tell your story and empower yourself. How to be able to love yourself from the inside out. Because you can't love somebody else and someone else can't love the real you until you love who you are. And being able to understand that and being able to accept you for who you are is crucial. As we kick off Random Acts of Kindness Week to lead up to the Random Act of Kindness Day on Friday. We will be back here on Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern, which we will now be a full hour instead of a half an hour.
Yes, and it is Be Well by April with me, April Federico.
Have a good day. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here at noon. Bye for now.
Yeah. Bye-bye, friends.